Okay, thank you for your presentation. We're going to start with any questions that we may have from the commission, and we'll start with Mr. Collins.
Mr. Fuqua, thanks for the detailed presentation. Would like to ask if in this district you had considered whether or not to build a mix of housing that would be suitable for the workforce. One of the concerns I think a lot of folks have raised is that in Eastern Sussex County, there is a challenge with affordable workforce housing, and that especially during the summer season, we have challenges already with local businesses, and that this would put additional pressure on that workforce.
Yeah, well again, within the context of this client and this development, this is a purely commercial project, and that's what this is how this is designed. That's what the business that the applicant is in. So no, it wasn't in consideration that because it's part of not what they do. Obviously, there's opportunity for that anywhere that can be appropriate, and we I certainly acknowledge it as a problem.
Yeah, and I'm asking in the context of, in I think Los Angeles, Costco actually built a store that included residential housing units above it. I know that this project doesn't include that, but it would seem like a partial solution to reducing sprawl and improving access to housing for folks that will be working in the facilities.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard that. It's a very interesting idea. I've never heard that, although our population has grown, but we're not quite up to LA yet. But
I totally agree, but we also have concerns about sprawl and environmental damage from overdevelopment that I'm sure some folks will be speaking about later. let's see. So I think that there's probably an opportunity to improve landscaping along 24 to make sure that we don't have a strip of highway that looks kind of like Coastal Highway does today, where it's, you know, pretty barren, no trees, no landscaping. Any concerns about that if we were to add that as conditions, or was that already proper?
Well, again, the details of the landscaping is on the landscaping plan, yeah. So you may have reviewed that or not, but
I did.
It's in pretty detail. Again, the only thing I would add that per DelDOT, there's going to be a decorative fence, 4-foot fence along there. So
true.
There is a, obviously from a commercial point of view, there is a accessibility and view that you want to have. So there's a lot of different
for sure
things to be addressed in that question.
Okay. Just going through my questions, sorry for scrolling. You answered some of them, so I don't want to ask something that's redundant. You actually mentioned specifically that this site, you know, in the future land use map indicated that it would likely be commercial. That doesn't necessarily mean that it would be commercial now, but were there other sites that were examined for development that were in maybe a less sensitive area, Western Sussex County or on Route 1?
No, this was identified because the county comprehensive plan indicated that this was an appropriate place. again, if I'm going by the plan, I got to be on a major road. I got to be near a major intersection, and I got to have land that's appropriate for C4 zoning and land that's for sale.
I don't have any other questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Passwaters?
I have no additional questions right now.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Mr. Mears.
I don't have any right now.
Well, Ms. John, if you have any for the engineer for this team, this would be the time to ask.
Okay, yeah.
And can you make sure you pull your mic up so it's being recorded?
The only question I have is you're talking about your storm water overflow into a DelDOT management area from the pipe. What is the DelDOT management area exactly?
Okay,
maybe Mr. Again, Fortunato.
The storm water doesn't go there. It's only the storm water associated with a 100-year flood event.
Okay, if so.
Sure. So Steve Fortunato with Bowler Engineering. So we're connecting into an existing DelDOT storm drain system. So that system was put in as part of the Route 24 expansion. We've met with them, we've coordinated with them, we've given them, you know, some preliminary plans, had a couple of meetings with them. So they're aware, they don't have an objection, but we'll have to meet any of the applicable requirements associated.
Okay, yeah, we are on the East Coast and there's possible storms here, so yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
One more question before you walk away. For the underground stormwater system, where is that water going to be discharged, or is it going to be through an infiltration of that system?
So it'll be primarily infiltrated. A very large amount of that will be infiltrated. And then, like Mr. Fuqua said, there'll be an overflow where larger storm events do discharge into that DLDOT storm drain system, and we'll have to meet, you know, the pre-development flows associated.
Okay.
But it'll be a lot of infiltration happening.
Okay. Mr. Allen, do you have anything else? Okay, I had a couple of questions. And I think you spoke about this, Mr. Fuqua, but the interconnectivity, I was trying to pull my plan up and it keeps crashing on me, is happening on the north side. There's going to be something there to allow for interconnectivity for future? Are we doing that?
No, the obviously we're on Mulberry Knoll Road and Route 24. There will be access to Plantation Road by way of that access easement in the rear of the property. There's no interconnectivity shown. We can stub something to that piece of land, but it's an agricultural piece of land that's in agricultural preservation easement, and I don't want to.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to insult
yeah.
the.
No,
I don't insult
right.
the property by.
I forgot.
Implying that it's going to be developed at any time. Yeah.
Thank you. I forgot that. I did read that. Okay. Are there any plans to have multi-use path in the front? I know you're going to have a fence there, and you're trying to deter any pedestrians crossing where they're not supposed to, but I could see that being a good use of bicyclists being able to use that side and getting in and out of the shopping center.
There'll be the there'll be a multi-use path along the road frontage, along Route 24,
okay,
and along Mulberry Knoll Road.
Okay.
That'll be similar to what's done on a lot of residential developments.
Right.
It'll be a 15-foot easement. There'll be a 5-foot gap between the right-of-way, and then there'll be a 10-foot paved shared-use path. Yes, that'll be on both roads.
Okay.
Not along the service road, though.
No.
Trying to make sense of my notes as well. What is the timeline for completion? Do you have any kind of estimate? I'm thinking about, like, the amount of time that DLDOT will have time to do their thing as well?
Again, the only estimate I can tell you is I'm told take 3 years
for build
to construct the development.
Okay.
Now, that means that some stores would be coming online over that period, and but for full completion, 3 years, is that fair? Let me have Mr. Hoskins speak.
Ben Hoskins for the applicant. Our current projection is all pending approvals and the entitlements timeline would have a grand opening where the majority of the center would open before the quote-unquote high season in 2028. Okay. That would assume that we would be in the groundbreaking in sometime in 2026.
Okay.
So, you know, the construction could go on for there. I think that's why I know now not to correct my attorney. the construction could go on from there, but that is, you know, everything's subject to change.
And we understand the variables with the
yes.
permitting process and getting through all
thank
that.
You.
So thank you. Just wanted some kind of idea. All right, that's all I have. Anybody else have anything, Mr. Robertson or Mr. Whitehouse?
Just one question, because it comes up on these all the time. We've seen it before with the road improvements. Not so much on Route 24, but the ones that are on Mulberry Knoll with the two traffic circles. I can remember this coming up in a subdivision somewhere else on another road. Are those road improvements all within either the DLDOT right-of-way or your client's property? In other words, are they going to be required to be on somebody else's property, I guess, on the south side of Mulberry Knoll? Just so we can get that on the record.
Sure. So we've designed all the right-of-way improvements to be either within the DLDOT, I said all entrance improvements to be within the right-of-way or our property. So right now we are not anticipating right-of-way or even easement acquisition from any of those neighbors.
Okay, and that includes those roundabouts that are
correct.
On that side? Okay,
yep.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead, Ms. Collins.
So this is a bit random, but electricity prices have been going up, power generation concerns, you know, nobody wants to build power generation in their backyards. people don't want to turn farms into solar farms. Is there consideration for deploying solar arrays, you know, for covering vehicles and maybe on rooftops to help with generation of power and maybe offset market increases that are likely to be coming for
yeah,
everyone?
And as you can understand, we haven't gotten into that type of detail, but again, I would think so because that is, I thought that was the future. I'm not positive, but I think that would be done.
Fair point. Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Whitehouse.
Just a passing curiosity, if I could. There's an adjoining county paramedic station on the right side of the drawing. If that site ever wished to interconnect to this site, would there be a possibility of doing that? That's something for the site plan stage, but
question.
It's located here.
I think it's to the rear of what would be the Costco store. I don't see why that couldn't be possible, because it would just be a landscape buffer back there. If the Planning Commission would let us remove the buffer, I guess we could do it.
Well, thank you.
We would certainly have no objection to it.
Sure, thank you.
All right. Anybody else have any other questions, staff? No? Commissioners, have anything else at this time? Okay, if you'd like to have a seat, we'll get DelDOT up here to speak at this time. Mr. Sammons. See if we have, as the commissioners have, any questions for DelDOT.
And first of all, I'd just like to say, I know Chairwoman Wingate mentioned this, but we always do appreciate when DelDOT comes, because and the folks in the audience as well, we ask DelDOT to come to these meetings because, you know, we obviously hear from the applicants and what their traffic engineers state. And of course, their traffic engineer and TIS information is reviewed by DelDOT and its consultants. And we also hear from the public, but it's really helpful for everybody to actually hear from DelDOT, who's the one that has control over the road. So just on behalf of the commission, thanks a lot for coming. I know you've had to sit here now for a couple hours, but it's really useful to us and the public as well.
So sure. Thank you for that. Thank you for saying that. So, and we're glad to be here when we can. So, excuse me. My name is Todd Sammons. I'm the Assistant Director of Development Coordination. And with me, I have Sarah Coakley, who is our Transportation Improvement District Program Manager. I also have Sareem Mutasib, who's our Traffic Impact Study Group Engineer. And then I have Tucker Smith with us, who's a traffic engineer from McCormick Taylor, who's a consultant for DelDOT, who actually helped review and put the traffic impact study letter together in conjunction with our staff.
Okay.
And just want to thank the commission and the commissioners for inviting us. We're happy to be here again when we can, and the general public too.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being here, as Mr. Robertson stated. Let's see if anyone has any questions from the commission. We'll start with Mr. Collins.
Hello. Thanks again for joining. So I wanted to start with, in the most layman terms possible, could you talk about what the state of the roads will be when this shopping center, if it were to be rezoned and approved and built and deployed, you know, opening weekend in 2028, say in May, what's the state of Route 24 and what's the state of Mulberry Knoll Road? And, you know, what are the improvements DelDOT's making beyond what the applicant has spoken to? Could you speak to that?
Okay, that was that's a big question there. And maybe we can break it down, because I want to be able to, we're going to do our best to answer any questions you have and give, you know, paint a picture as best as we can. So you want to just start with Route 24? I mean, this is a...
Route 24 first, okay. Of course, because I'm
this
sure
a huge,
that's on a lot of
this
money.
Is a huge development. We all know that. It's going to be a big trip generator with the type of uses that they are proposing. So if it goes forward as proposed, it's going to be a significant trip generator. It does have pass-by trips, meaning the cars are already going by that are going to say, oh, I want to go to a Costco, I want to go to a Target. They're going to pull in there. But we factored all that out of there. So it is significant. I will say that we did analysis based off of the years when they're going to open, they project, which is in 2028. And then we also pushed the analysis out to 2045, which aligns with the TID analysis that's out there. You know, from a high level, DelDOT is constantly monitoring all roads, all major roads, side roads, and intersections. We have programs that monitor that. We also have models that we run, and then we have projects in the CTP that are ongoing, regardless whether this project comes in or not. Those are listed out into the letter. They're listed in the CTP, so I won't go through all those. But just for the public and the commission's benefit, you know, Planning and Zoning Commission's benefit, as you could see, there was the Route 24 improvements that were made that have gone from Route 1 out towards just past the elementary school there where Route 24 was dualized, turn lanes were put in. There are more phases of Route 24 improvements that are coming that are going to go to the west of there, I believe, beyond Love Creek, that will dualize Route 24. So we're constantly doing things. Deldot also has the plans to take and make the Mulberry Knoll Road connection that'll take you all the way up to Route 9. And as development comes in, we're having developers put those pieces in place, some of those. Some of those are going to be CTP projects that Deldot and the federal government will fund. So we're constantly working, we're constantly evolving and making the infrastructure better. I think sometimes to the chagrin, it doesn't happen fast enough for people, but we do our best to stay in front of those things. We also have, we attack it from a different direction too, and that's where, as developers come through the development coordination group, then we have them mitigate their impacts as well as add on to these pieces, add on pieces of the puzzle to the CTP projects that Deldot has planned. So it's very high level. I hope I answered your question. I'll say as far as Route 24, we did look out to 2045 on it. And the capacity with the dualization of 24, even after this development, with the committed developments that we know of now, it will not exceed the capacity of the existing roadways there.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
But we did check it because there was concerns, and that was some of the comments that were posed there. Now, I'll end it there. Please keep continuing to ask me some questions.
Can I just do one follow-up, Mr. Collins, just because you mentioned something, I want to make sure it always gets asked. And you said it, Mr. Sammons. But when you're doing that, you're looking at also the committed developments, the ones that aren't necessarily built.
Yes.
And also in the TID, the land within the TID is, there's sort of its future plan for what's likely to go there, whether that's development or commercial, and that's all taken into account, whether built or not.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we're looking at the build out year that the project proposes as well as the future year because this is a TID and there's active projects that are currently planned in the TID. But I also want to stress this is that 2045 is a long time out. It's 20 years. Everything's subject to change. We're constantly monitoring. So if there are problems as they develop, then there could be other changes made, other improvements that are made. We like to always say that. As engineers, we could fix any problem, but what are the ramifications of doing so, okay? Do you want 3 travel lanes in each direction? Do you want 4 travel lanes in each direction? Do you want a big slice of asphalt? I mean, it goes, so there's environmental impacts, there's the size impacts, there's a lot of things that go into that. So can we engineer out of it? Can we build out of it? Of course. But then there's gotta be a balance there between quality of life as well as the transportation infrastructure out there. So it's a tough balance to strike.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Thank you.
Excellent question.
So dualization of 24. Can we talk about the phasing for that? Do you have that timeline available, roughly?
The next phase, you have it, Tucker.
The next CTP project.
Oh, can
just come to
the microphone. Thanks.
Tucker Smith, McCormick Taylor.
Thank you.
There's another capital project that's going to expand Route 24 to the west from Love Creek out to 5 miles west of there, and that's currently not scheduled, but it is a planned project that Delta is going to do.
To clarify, does that include expansion of the bridge over Love Creek?
I would assume so. It's part of the same roadway. It's in the scope that's in the CTP plan. It's 2 lanes each way.
Appreciate
that
it.
Entire segment.
Okay. And so there is no plan to have that completed, though, at this point before this project would be operational and customers driving in and out. Mulberry Knoll Road expansion to Route 9, which I think is an important project to also deliver, that also likely won't be finished by the time this is built out, correct?
It will not be finished. But there is a piece going in with North Star as one of the conditions put in phase 1 that it will build from Route 9.
Yes.
As they're building their first set of homes, before those homes, I assume, could take a CO. They'll have the road built from 9 down to 23 and a little bit beyond 23. So we're trying to hit the pieces as we go. If there's other fields or other developers that come in, we'll ask them to make those. But if not, those connections. But if not, then the CTP project will eventually take care of it. But it will not be in place by 2028.
Would you anticipate that some of the traffic into and out of the center, if it were to be approved, would also access the service road that's going behind the stores to access it?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was why...
That's part of the requirement for...
Yes, and that's... Mr. Freck, well, you know, he had said, you know, about... I can't remember. It's a chicken egg. I don't know if Delta suggested it or they suggested it, but that's why there's that connectivity over to plantations. That's something that the department constantly promotes is interconnectivity. As long as it makes sense, we need to look at them all because you don't want an unintended consequence. But it didn't make any sense to have all this traffic push out to 24 and Mulberry when you can make that connection and it's a feasible connection over to plantations. I mean, you want to distribute the traffic as much as possible so it doesn't unfairly, unduly impact certain areas. And the more you distribute it, the better it will be.
Yeah, it would also be an alternate route in the event you had to bypass an accident on 24. But all right, I don't think I have any other questions right now, so I'd like to hear from others, and I may come back.
Mr. Thanks. Robert, Mr. Passwaters. No questions?
No questions at this
okay.
time.
Okay, Mr. Mears, do you have any questions for Dylan?
Is there anything you could add to Mr. Fuqua's description of the developer required improvements?
I mean, I think the TIS letter speaks for itself, and it's been public record since May 1st. I think he covered it well.
Okay.
That there is significant improvements that are going to have to occur, and this development, if it goes forward, would have to mitigate. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 roundabouts that would have to be constructed. Some of them are site, I think 2 were site entrances, and obviously I could go through the letter and tell you, but I'm in the interest of time here, because I don't want to be redundant. There's the 2 site entrances, there's a roundabout up at Cedar and Mulberry, there's 1 out on Plantations, I believe, so there's 1, maybe 2 out on Plantations, actually. So there's significant intersection improvements around the site that need to occur. To help alleviate and also mitigate the site's impact. There's the major intersection, I'm sorry, the major entrance out on 24, which is signalized, and then there's right in, right out. So I think, what the developer initially proposed with regards to access points, it has evolved. So like a right in, right out, as long as it's designed safely, that's actually a good relief valve because it doesn't affect the traffic going the other way. You don't have to make lefts across Route 24, but it absolutely allows vehicles to access the site better. So it's a balance between what they propose versus what we think is a good idea, and that's what we work with them. A lot of this, it's pretty static, I think, where they've got it now, but they could change things, and that will evolve as they go through the design process with DLDOT, and then we get into the details of that design from a geometry, operational, safety standpoint. The TIS is kind of high level with regards to traffic impacts, determining how things are going to distribute out. But like, for example, with Mulberry and 24, they've got to make improvements, as Mr. Frockway had said, they've got to make improvements there to the intersection that are above and beyond what the TID improvements would be, or above and beyond what the Route 24 improvements just made now. Specifically, it would be a southbound double left out of there to mitigate their site traffic and to help alleviate the traffic on Mulberry Road. You know, so those are the types of things that we looked at to make sure that if they need to do anything that's above and beyond already what's planned there, that they do it.
Thank you.
Yep.
And I think it's fair to say it's a sliding target to see what's happening and what they're proposing. Like you suggested, that it's going to be, at the end of the day, the best that can be.
It is. And this was proposed. A very complicated traffic impact study. Obviously, we take it very seriously. And that's why we looked at, there's not only their build-out year, but also aligned it with the future projections with the TID. And account for all that in the CTP projects, and did the best we could to make sure that the infrastructure works in that area.
All right.
If this goes forward.
All right, so. Thank you. Mr. Allen, did you have any?
I've noticed a lot of the comments here, a lot of the people were asking, so I'll ask it for them. Your traffic impact study, did you consider the difference in the traffic during the summer months when it like triples almost, so?
Yes, so it's a worst case scenario typically when you're doing the analysis on there, so you'll have the peak hours for the AM and the PM peak, and then you have a summer Saturday analysis that occurs. And if people dive into this analysis, they'll see that, you know, sometimes summer Saturday is bad, but you'll have a decent or good level of service for your AM and your PM peak weekday traffic. Obviously, the reason why we all know intuitively, or, you know, because we've experienced it in the summer, there's the higher volume of cars, and it's, you know, intense traffic and intense, so you'll get the unacceptable level service or level services that maybe aren't the best at
all day versus a normal day.
Yes, and we try to make sure they account for that too, to mitigate it too, but there's also, again, the balance.
Right.
It's like, how far do you take it? Do you want dual lane roundabouts? Do you want four lane sections of roads?
Right.
So you've got to consider all that.
Right.
I was going to say, and
sorry.
Additionally, the occasional somebody who doesn't know how to drive in a roundabout occurs.
Right, yeah. I think as more and more go in,
right, they're learning.
You're forcing them to learn.
I've been here long enough that where there literally wasn't any in Delaware, and now there are a lot.
Several, so, yes.
I guess I'm showing my age.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay.
Just one question for the record, because Mr. Sammons, you've stated, and your team, and obviously there's the TIS review letter. I just, if you could kind of emphasize the point or explain the point that, you know, the traffic counts, the impact of this project, the existing counts on Route 24 and Mulberry Knoll Road in the future counts, that's all based on studies and criteria that you have to follow. Is that an accurate statement?
It is an accurate statement.
Yeah.
And so there's, and I think you did a good generalization there, where there's actually physical counts that are taken in real time, and then they are, there's committed developments that are added in. And Tucker, if I miss anything, or Serene, please tell me. But then those are grown out with factors that are appropriate, that are studied and applied through engineering analysis and through practical data. And then all that gets added together, and then you grow it out to when there's seasonal factors, you know, whether it's the time of year, it's summertime, all those things are added into it. And then you take the traffic that's from, and this had a laundry list of committed developments, but then you take the traffic from the site itself, and then you grow that out to that future, and then you do your analysis based off that. So, and you compare it to what the existing is now versus what the future projected is. And then again, we took it to another step. We actually grew it out to what the TID projections were in 2045, so that could get a better look for that area, because it isn't a TID there, a traffic improvement district. So there are a lot of things that go into growing this out, and that's why these numbers get so big. And you'll see the level of service sometimes, or the projections, like in the future, will show like a level service F and so much delay, because there's all this traffic that's pushed, you know, into that. And then that's what we base the mitigations off of. So again, it's try to look at the worst case scenarios, because we don't want anybody to experience delays, and we don't want any safety concerns and any operational concerns. But the reality of it is if you're going out during the summer Saturday, there's going to be delays, and there's going to be some capacity issues, because we live at the beach, and that's where everybody wants to be, and that's where the traffic is. So then it comes down to, how do you mitigate that? Do you design out of it fully, or do you accept some delays on a summer Saturday, but you won't accept on weekdays? And that's where engineering judgment and those types of things come into play with it. This one, there was a lot of engineers, a lot of things involved in this one. It went to, and I encourage everybody, the TIS speaks for itself and the amount of mitigation, but also it identifies the concerns and identifies the amount of traffic that's in it.
Okay. Thank you.
I had one last thing, and it was spurred by the director and a question hypothetically earlier, which is, do you have considerations in any of your assessments about what the impact of autonomous driving and how that will impact your requirements in the future? So like this development, sorry, you prompted this. So this development includes massive parking, right? Which is required for what volume of customers they may have today. And obviously lots of improvements to nearby roadways and dependencies on other projects that are planned for the district. What's the impact of autonomous? Have you guys looked at that yet?
Well, that's a question, I think, beyond this group. It's
for
a great
sure.
question, and I can't really address it. I guarantee the department is looking at it. I just don't have an answer for you, but I will say this, that, you know, we look at, bus stops and mass transportation and all that, bicyclists, pedestrians, all that's incorporated into what the recommendations are here. But I'm sure that somewhere within DLDOT, there is somebody that is looking at the autonomous. I can't speak to it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
That raises another question, though, because one of the things that comes up now, actually in the context of affordable housing, is you need the mass of either, you know, commercial uses or housing to support a DART route. With this development, and I apologize if this is something I missed in the information that's online, but Will this one generate a DART bus stop?
It was in the...
There's actually four that are being, that are recommendations, requirements in this letter.
Okay.
There are two that are close to Mulberry, one on either side of Route 24,
okay.
And then there's two close to the entrance there too. And there was a question earlier that but maybe it's worth addressing too about where the shared use path is going to be in the director of fencing. The idea was to channelize pedestrians and the low impact bicyclists to the safe crossing points at Mulberry and at the intersection, the main intersection that's going to be signalized if this development goes forward, their main entrance there, so that's where the crossings would be. What we didn't want is, because this is a long site, is pedestrians or people running across 24 on, like, where they could just go willy-nilly. We want to channelize them in for safety reasons.
And that is an excellent idea.
So, and then there'll be shared use path and other, all that'll be around the entire site, tied into the site and down Mulberry.
I missed that on the drawing. I couldn't figure that out on the,
yes,
the detail on the drawing, but I'm glad to see that.
So
back
to just kind of to broadly answer both questions that were just posed is, we look at all forms of transportation to just try to make sure they're accounted for when we make the recommendations.
And I think our hope would be that a lot of people use the bus transit so that
yes.
it would eliminate a lot more vehicles.
Yes,
going
for
in
sure.
And out of there. Yeah. Okay. All right. Does anybody have anything else? No?
I don't think so. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sammons
you.
And Team DelDOT for being here. We appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We need to reel these people in.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please, you'll have your opportunity to speak unless you get removed first. So, please.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anybody here? Do we need to take a moment?
Show on every screen.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to do the head count first?
Sure.
In favor of?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so if we could get a raise of hands for those of you that are here in favor of application number, change of zone, 2037 Mulberry Knoll Associates, in favor. Mr. Wheatley would say only one hand up per person.
How many did you get? 15, same.
Okay.
And let me sit down real quick. Mr. Whitehouse, our staff, since Mr. Whitehouse is nowhere near a microphone, do we have anybody downstairs? Okay, so we don't have to worry about counting that.
Right.
Okay.
And then can we get a raise of hands? Thank you, in opposition. And again, I say just one hand per person.
Yeah. What did you end up with, Mr. Whitehouse?
62.
All right, yeah, I had 61, so we'll go with 62.
All right, thank you all. Okay, are there any organized groups here today that would have a spokesperson that would like to speak on behalf of that group?
In favor of, we're still in.
Yes, I'm sorry, in
yeah.
favor. Yep. Is there anyone here in opposition? Well, let me ask, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor? Thank you. I'm getting ahead of myself. State your name, please.
Madam Chair and honorable members of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, my name is Dr. Chris Hafer, spelled Hotel Alpha Foxtrot Foxtrot Echo Romeo, and I reside at 34538 Scenic Harbor Way, Lewis, Delaware, 19958. I recently retired as the Chief Data Officer from the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and moved to the Four Seasons at Scenic Harbor Community, which is located off Mulberry Knoll Road, approximately 1 mile south of the proposed commercial development. I am here today first to thank you for your willingness to serve on the Commission. As a former two-term member of the Baltimore County Planning Board, I know how important, challenging, and some might say thankless your work is, especially on a proposal such as this one that presents challenges, opportunities, and significant change. Change which is extremely difficult for some to negotiate and manage. On behalf of myself and my neighbors, thank you for your service to the community. I am also here to voice my strong support in favor of CZ2037 for the proposed rezoning of the parcel on the northwest side of John J. Williams Highway at the northwest corner of the intersection with Mulberry Knoll Road from an AR-1 agricultural residential district to a C4 planned commercial district. This project, which aims to bring a new commercial development to our area, is a significant opportunity for our community. First and foremost, this development is a chance to welcome a Target store. Target was recently recognized in a very methodologically sound June 2025 study conducted by NetCredit and available online, which showed that Target was the least expensive grocery store in the United States. This isn't just about a new shopping option, it's about introducing much needed competition into our local grocery market. The presence of a low-cost competitor could potentially lead to lower grocery prices for everyone, providing real relief to household budgets in Sussex County. This is an economic benefit that will be felt by all residents, and it directly addresses a key concern for many families. Second, the proposed commercial use of this parcel is neither a recent proposal nor inconsistent with existing Sussex County managed growth policy. It's a logical and planned step in our county's growth. This parcel has been designated as a commercial growth area in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan since at least 2018, which means the information on the proposed use of the parcel has been available and easily accessible in the public record before ground was broken on a single home in the neighboring communities of Belterre or Welch's Pond. The rezoning is perfectly aligned with the principles of smart managed growth that the county has been pursuing. This project isn't about uncontrolled sprawl, but about developing a location that our long-term planning has already identified as suitable for commercial use. It represents a thoughtful expansion that serves the community's needs while staying true to our established vision for the future. Third, the developer, Southside Investment Partners, has a really impressive track record. They have successfully managed similarly scoped projects from inception to completion in major metropolitan areas like Washington, D.C. and Boston. This experience should give the commission and residents confidence that they will deliver a high-quality product. The fear of a bait and switch is a common and valid concern with large developments, but Southside Investment Park's history of completing quality projects suggests that they are committed to a successful outcome here. Their experience minimizes the risk and maximizes the likelihood of a beneficial, well-executed project. Finally, in my new community, I took it upon myself to informally survey my neighbors about their views on this project. Because of the public availability of online information, everyone knew about the existence of the proposed commercial project and incorporated this information into their decision-making process before purchasing a home. Of the approximately 15 residents with whom I chatted, all indicated they had done their due diligence and were well aware of the proposed commercial development before purchasing their homes, and 14 of the 15 were enthusiastically in favor of it. This anecdotal evidence demonstrates our community's support. It shows that residents see this not as an imposition, but as a valuable and expected addition to the area, one that they believe will enhance their quality of life. In conclusion, this rezoning is well planned, much needed, and highly supported initiative that will bring economic benefits and a high quality development to Sussex County. I urge you to approve this ordinance. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, sir. Who else would like to speak in favor? Yes. It's on.
Oh, it's on, okay. Good afternoon. Thank you very much. And again, I'd like to reiterate what the past gentleman had said for your service here, you know, to our community. I'm here just to say...
Have your name, sir.
Oh, I'm very sorry. My name is Tom Hinderleiter. I reside at Potnets in Bayside and 34469 Fleet Street.
Thank you.
And I just want to reiterate the fact that what the gentleman said about, you know, the all the accolades of the new development, so to speak, that's going to hopefully be approved, that I've lived here and retired here back in 2006. And during that time, I've seen a multitude of cars, barrel zones, what have you. And it's alarming. And all you see when you drive down, when you think you got a shorter shortcut somewheres, you have a development going here. Next thing you know, you come down the next month, you have another development going here. Well, all these things develop into cars that congest our towns here. So to alleviate that, this seems to be the great possibility of helping alleviate it, especially off of 24. I just recently understood that the red zone, which I'll call it the red zone, CZ2037, is commercial, and it's in the plan for the future, and I heard about that somewhere before, but now I realize what it's all about. And I think that's the fine way of utilizing this particular area. Number one, you're getting a premier, if they still hold to it, Costco. You're getting Target in there, premier company. Wegmans in there, and I'm sure a battery of other places that you could visit.
Ladies and gentlemen, please.
That you could visit. Now, understand this will be a destination. It will not be a domicile. If you have a domicile, you will have cars that will come on and congest our areas. That's my point right there. Thank you very
much. Thank you, sir. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Madam Chair and Council, thank you all for your service. My name is Cynthia Anderson Clay. I am a resident of Plantation Lakes. I'm coming this afternoon as a community, community support. I'd like to take this as a very teachable moment because everyone, we've had a lot of experts here. I am a citizen, and I wanted to make a few points for consideration for both sides. Coming from Potomac, Maryland, something that we have built our communities on, especially in development, that's where I sit, and that is moderately priced dwelling units. I heard you mention that, and thank you for that, because we can have huge developments that come, and I'm talking about built homes. They set aside 10% to be able to have moderately priced dwelling units. There are some concerns about, you know, well, you might not want that in your neighborhood, but if you took a look at it to really see what it looks like, you would never know that those houses are moderately priced dwelling units. I moved here 3 years ago, recently married, and something that I find I have to continue to go back to Maryland for is top tier medical doctors. I'm just being honest. Or you have to go to another state. Doing my own personal research and polling the hospitals here for them to bring their workforce development here, one of the main top issues that doctors are having and nursing staff and others is being able to have a place that they want to be able, where they can shop, where they can go to. Whole Foods, people go to Trader Joe's, we have to drive up to like Wilmington almost to be able to go to certain stores. So that's a concern as well. And if we want to bring those types of top tiered doctors here, I don't know about you, but my husband had cancer. Living here, having to take him to Johns Hopkins was challenging because of the type of cancer that he had. He made it through. So I'm speaking from the community. The other thing is change is uncomfortable, but if we, you know, really take a look at it, we can really learn from this experience. And those are really the two points that I wanted to make. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Okay, there being none. Is there any organized group that would like to speak against this change of zone today that has a spokesperson? No, okay. Who would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for hearing our comments today. My name is Representative Claire Snyder Hall. I'm here as a citizen today, and I reside at 28 Haworth Court in Rehoboth, which is off of Old Landing Road. So this is right around the corner from me. If you listen to the developer's attorney in his comprehensive statement about this project, it sounds like a utopian shopping experience, and also that you all have no authority to not approve the zoning change. And I would maintain that neither of those things is true. I'm very concerned, and I've spoken to people all over the Lewis-Rehoboth area, very concerned about the deterioration of our quality of life in eastern Sussex. And I fear that this mammoth shopping center, even if it has attractive stores, or particularly because it has attractive stores, is going to vastly increase traffic on a road that is already very congested. Anybody who lives in the area knows that. On 24 can be a nightmare, and we don't want it to turn into a Saturday, you know, summer Saturday on, you know, every day. These high profile stores are going to attract people from all over Sussex County who want to come. So it's not just people that live near the shopping mall, but also people from all over that are going to come there. The attorney mentioned that there would be 1,750 jobs, low-wage jobs mostly. Where are those folks going to live? They're probably going to have to drive in from where they live because you can't afford to live in the area, and that's also going to increase traffic. I was a little bit scratching my head with the discussion of the pedestrian and bicycle traffic because first of all, I wouldn't want to take my life in my hands bicycling on 24, but nobody's going to go to Costco on a bicycle for shopping. The second thing I wanted to say is that the one more thing on that. The roads, I mean, we're facing serious problems with our state budget. I'm not sure we have unlimited money to do all of these upgrades that were mentioned. The second issue I wanted to mention that I'm worried about is flooding. As we all know, the floodplains are constantly changing, and as we're facing more extreme weather, if you put in a giant shopping mall that has 80% impermeable surfaces, that's going to cause tremendous water problems, and we're going to be looking at more flooding. And then finally, I mean, people are already really concerned about first responders with the traffic, and if there's a storm, if we have to evacuate, it's going to exacerbate problems that we're already facing. The attorney mentioned that it's your responsibility to think about the welfare of current and future residents, which we're grateful for, and so it's my contention that for the benefit, for the welfare of current and future residents, I hope that you will deny the request for a zoning change to allow this mammoth development. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Opposition? Okay, come up.
Good afternoon. I guess it's evening almost now. I'm Kenneth Suter, and I live at 34791 Collins Avenue in Rehoboth Beach. Is it possible to bring up the first screen with the fields that the attorney had? That one, yeah. I'm not sure how to use this very well, but so Collins Avenue is actually right in this area here. It's a stone private lane that we do not own. There are five homes on Collins Avenue. We are all utilizing septic systems and well water. So it's when I look at 3,500 parking spots, and I heard, and a gas station is going to be right next door, and I heard about the gas station water supposedly going underground and somewhere else, but that whole land is covered with parking lot and buildings, our wells. I mean, essentially, if we can't utilize our wells, then we don't have a source of drinking water anymore. And the developer has made no indications to us homeowners. I own two of the five homes in terms of trying to remedy that situation. We are landlocked. We're surrounded by public water and in some cases public sewer, but we do not have it and we don't have access to it. Hmm. And we're landlocked to get it. Okay. So that is a huge, huge concern for us five homeowners directly abutting this property, not to mention all the runoff and whatever. And I know you're going to hear a lot about traffic and the impact, but what I did was I jumped in my car and I drove from Route 1 down 24. And you know, I call it spillover. There's a lot of spillover from Route 1 till you get to Plantation Road. And once you get to Plantation Road, it's primarily schools, churches, residential, and there are some commercial properties, but it's all mom and pop stores or directly on the highway, nothing of this scale for several miles. So this would completely change the character and the quality of life for the individuals that live beyond Plantation Road. And I'm afraid the floodgates will be opened with the rest of it, of the undeveloped land out there. Additionally, I found it very interesting that the developer is asking for C4 zoning. And when I listened to the attorney describe the C4 zoning, he said that commercial use is permitted in the C4 zoning, which it is. But I went to the purpose of C4 zoning, and I'm gonna read it to you if I may. In order to encourage carefully planned large-scale commercial, retail, and mixed-use developments as a means of creating a superior shopping, working, and living environment through unified developments and to provide for the application of design and ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments. And it goes on a little bit more. We're not talking about that here. There's no residential component here. This is not a planned community. What I heard the attorney say over and over again, this is a large shopping center. So why are you asking for C4 zoning? There is no residential component. It doesn't fit the description or the purpose of what he's asking for. To me, that should be denied because it doesn't fit. Yes, you can do the retail, but it has to be part. That's the whole purpose of this. I realize from what the attorney said, you're not used to because it's a newer zoning, but this doesn't fit that description at all.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Madam Chair,
understandable.
Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I just want to read you two short lines from the comprehensive plan.
Did you give us your name?
Oh, Raymond Galino. I live in Lewis on the Bourbon Circle in Belterre. One of the purposes of Sussex County for C4 developments is to protect existing and future developments. The comprehensive plan states that development occurs on a scale, intensity, and distance appropriate to adjacent residential neighborhoods, and that new developments complement the character of the existing surrounding communities. None of that is true here. And I know that everybody's talked about traffic. I've lived there for 3 years now, and I was told that people fought my development when I wanted to come down here. But this C4 is at a scale that's unprecedented in our area. You can't move down Mulberry Knoll, Route 24, and it's not only on a Saturday that the gentleman from DelDOT insinuated, it's every day of the week in the summer, all the way down Old Landing, Airport Road, there's just nowhere to go. And the fact that they said that they could have these improvements, originally the attorney, I believe, said
they'd have these improvements concurrent to construction. DelDOT disagreed with that. They said 2028, 2045 for the bridge on 24. And they were talking about 5 miles of dual lanes. Right now, you have 2 miles of double lanes. The rest of the 23 miles down to 113 is one lane. Even if you did 5 miles, it'd be a disaster going into Millsboro. You wouldn't be able to move. So I'm not against development in any respect. I'm from New York, where everything's developed. But I don't believe it's right for this parcel. It can be done somewhere else. You can capture revenue and the taxes, but it needs to be done in a more commercial setting, not in the backyard. Not to mention, I come from a development of 269 homes right on Mulberry Knoll, a little bit adjacent to the last, if you want to call it a roundabout. It's like the roundabout for that road, if they're not taking existing left and right property, the diameter of that should be about 3 feet. And it's basically going to be to go into the development, trucks included. We won't get out of our development. There's no way we'll be able to access that road at peak times. So thank you.
Appreciate thank you, sir. Who else would like to? Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay, we've heard about the C4. We know what the C4 is. We know there's a traffic issue, so try to give us something different.
All right, and I'll try to be very comprehensive here. Hello, Madam Chair and members of the council. My name is Robin Delgado. I live at 21223 Dauphine Street in Lewis. I live in Belterre. My home is not in Baltimore. My home is not where others are. My home is directly across the street from where this development is going to be. So I won't go into the AR1 to C4, but I will mention that is 4 levels. It is extremely steep to build what is being described as the Atlantic Fields mega structure. So my objection is due to the lack of the infrastructure. So in Sussex County Code Ordinance Number 2550, Article X1D, C4 Planned Commercial District, it's referenced as 115-83.25, minimum requirements. Under B, it states the land area shall be served by an adequate existing or planned infrastructure. In addition, under F, site plan review requirements 2G, the adequacy of public facilities and services such as streets and roads. You've already heard that they are severely inadequate. And to support the exponential increase in traffic, there are 18 HOA communities directly in the vicinity of where this project is going to go. Most of those only have a single egress. So if you drive around the area, you'll see there's a single egress in and out. Two of those are 55 plus developments. Someone mentioned the roundabouts. I think you have to take a look at where those roundabouts are going to be and the limited amount of land. And I don't know if any of you have been to the actual site.
We've all been to the site, ma'am.
Great. Okay, good. So then when you look at the site plans and you look at what is being described here, it is severely a question. And when you look at 18-wheel tractor trailers that will be in and out, and my understanding is that they will be going in that adjacent road, right? They have to come in, and they'll be going on the one that leads to Plantation. They're going to have to go around a roundabout on Mulberry Knoll to a road that's not being expanded. These are 18-wheeler tractor trailers. Costco, Target, Whole Foods, whatever is being described here is not one tractor trailer a day. So we really have to be realistic about the scope and scale of this mega structure and the concern that is described here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Hi, Susan Wattman. I'm also in Belterre in Lewis. Madam Chairwoman and Commissioners, I just want to thank you. I live in Belterre, which is 269 homeowners on Mulberry Knoll Road in Lewis, and will be directly impacted. I'm in absolute opposition to rezoning. Not only is this location for this project wrong for us in our community, it's wrong for everyone in the area. Simply put, this is just too big for this location and puts our safety at risk. Before purchasing our home, we did do our due diligence and we did research all adjacent zoning parcels, and they were all designated AR1 agricultural residential. We spent our life savings to purchase our forever home where we could retire and spend the rest of our lives with a peaceful and safe quality of life. We purposely did not purchase a home in a commercial area. Taking a parcel AR1 and again leapfrogging over several levels to C4 does not fit in with the purpose of zoning, which is to maintain safety and health standards we're keeping in the character of the area. Our 55 plus community has only, as she mentioned, a single egress in and out, and this includes a place for emergency responders to reach us. And again, we're not the only one. There's 18 HOAs in the same situation. This makes us unsafe and puts us at risk. How will we safely exit our community, let alone how will anyone get to us, especially emergency vehicles? We have one way in and one way out. Is it acceptable to create an environment where we could die just because we cannot get help in time so people can purchase bulk paper towels? Now consider the drivers trying to avoid the gridlock, thinking we are a cutthroat. We will have strangers driving into our community at all hours. We'll no longer feel safe simply walking in our own community. Further concern to this mega project, it's right next to two schools, an elementary and a middle school. Even if you ignore the current residential zoning, it belies common sense to place it here. The absolute apex of traffic congestion is at the triangle of Route 1, 9, and 24. Every single day, all 12 months of the year, there are very angry drivers trying to navigate a worsening situation. Vehicle accidents and fatalities are constantly increasing. Delaware is 7th in the 50 states for road rage. That's higher than New York, which is 46th. Do we want to add those statistics directly next to Love Creek Elementary and Beacon Middle Schools? What if our students have an emergency? How will first responders be able to reach those kids in gridlock? The developer is designating this a shopping district. Rehoboth area is a beach town, not an urban district. Our roads do not have an adequate infrastructure, will now be exponentially inundated with the additional cars from Maryland and Virginia with people dodging sales tax. This will create a constant crippling gridlock and put everyone at risk. Instead of putting this project where even future improved infrastructure cannot handle the coming effects, put this where there are primary roads like Route 1, not country roads that cannot handle safely the volume. Put this in a place that will make it impossible for first responders to get to an emergency. Put it in a place where economic development is needed and residents will be enhanced rather than harmed by such a project. This current location will most definitely harm the residents of Sussex County, respectfully.
Thank you. Okay, somebody have something different they want to share with us?
All my thunder stole one.
Please give us something different, Rich.
I hope to. My name's Dave Bauer. I live on Mulberry Knoll Road, 19490. If I could, if I can, at least to
give that.
Just okay. Talking about the traffic, the truck traffic entrance information. They're all the same, yes. I was hoping the board members could look at it just for clarification when I start talking about the truck traffic specifically. Okay, let me just start. I oppose the Atlantic Windshield zoning. The change from AR1 to C4 is a dramatic change in zoning, inconsistent with immediate surrounding properties. Nearly all the contiguous properties and those across the front of the street are AR1. This change is inconsistent with the character of immediate area. It will be detrimental to property value and quality of life for those AR1 neighbors. Despite DLDOT's recent widening of Route 24, traffic congestion from Route 1 extends well beyond the property during peak months and times. This is all common knowledge. People know this, they live here, including onto Plantation Road and Mulberry Knoll Road. This development will exacerbate existing traffic congestion on Route 24, Plantation, and Mulberry, as well as intersection 24 and Route 1. The two traffic studies performed support my statements. To force a heavy commercial development into a rural area is irresponsible urban sprawl. When there is already 5 miles of dense commercial shopping available along just both sides of Route 1, all the way from Route 9 to Rehoboth Canal, this rezoning opens the door for other rezonings along Route 24, and its transformation from a residential rural road into another commercial district, mirroring the already existing problems surrounding Route 1 today. Please note, this project cannot be developed by right. The developer requires a dramatic change from AR1 zoning it shares with the surrounding properties. The developer should generally be held to a higher standard than the minimum requirements of the code. Several examples I'm going to note here. The developer plans a 5-foot setback
along Mulberry Knoll frontage. Though this is the side of their development, it's still road frontage and should be treated as front setback with an appropriate dimension. The Sussex County staff analysis of 9825 notes the plan shows parking within the 60-foot front setback along 24. Note, it also shows parking and truck loading within this 60-foot setback along Mulberry Knoll Road. The developer has requested a waiver from the county code to allow this parking in the setback area. The applicant should be held to a higher standard with rezoning, not be given additional concessions from the code. They argue that Route 24 has already been widened, but this does not address the aesthetics referenced in the code or the portion of Mulberry Knoll that has not been widened. These aesthetics are important for the well-being of Sussex County residents. Please refer to this handout, and I'm not giving you. This is specific to the truck entrances proposed. It's a copy of the developer's exhibit that with the tractor-trailer truck turning diagrams highlighted in pink. The intention is for two Mulberry Knoll Road roundabout entrances to be primary truck entrances exits, with one possible movement from the Plantation Road. Mulberry is classified as a local road. It is the smallest, most rural of the three frontage roads. It has a substantial number of small rural homes, driveways directly feeding into it, where Plantation, a major collector, and Route 24, an arterial, do not. The developer's desire for site aesthetics and not wanting truck traffic in their site. It should not be permitted for them to pass these hardships to the rural neighbors. The developer should be required to provide truck access to their site from the largest, highest classification road. Route 24 is designated and intended to accommodate truck traffic and does not have the small residential neighbors. Given the road frontage classifications and the fact that Mulberry will contribute the fewest trips into the commercial development, the number of entrances should be reduced to no more than one on Mulberry Knoll Road, the same number as the higher classification road Plantation. This would still leave three possible entrances and exits on both eastbound and westbound directions for a total of five entrances. On a note concerning shrubs and screening for the proposed property. The staff report notes street trees should be planted along internal streets to improve aesthetics and reduce heat island effect. This recommendation should be extended to Route 24 and to Mulberry Knoll Road. While we are in agreement with the staff's recommendation, the aesthetic concerns of the neighbors and the general public who are forced to look at this shopping center should be a larger concern than the developers' customers who choose to drive there to shop. The developer's conceptual landscape plan shows only a few sporadic trees along these roads. Many more could be planted just outside the right-of-way frontage easements. Further, the developer should be held to a higher standard than the minimum screening requirements. Given the extreme change in zoning, the size and the intensity of the commercial use, and the height, 40 feet, of the buildings, they should exceed the minimum screening requirements being between the residential adjoiners to the northeast. Also, screening should be required along the entire Mulberry Knoll frontage. The conceptual landscape plan proposes shrubs along that road, along the parking and evergreen trees along a truck unloading area. Shrubs may help with headlights, but they don't help with a massive 40-foot tall building. While we are in agreement with the most of the staff report, the recommendation for interconnectivity to the property to the northwest should be permitted. The farm, which includes the adjourning tax parcel 334-12004806, is a protected Delaware agricultural easement, and as such, that farm does not have any developmental rights. Providing a stub road to this parcel could encourage someone to pursue legal action to develop that land that's currently designed for, that's under protection. Thank you for your time.
All right,